and what that means to us, I was drawn to a statement that the Apostle Paul makes in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. It's a great thing to know that our God is not going to change. A lot of things change around us, and a lot of things that we wish we could have confidence in, we really can't have confidence in. For a long time, I thought, well, I can do what I need to do to provide for my family, even if I'm gone. I'll just buy property because everybody knows God didn't make but just this earth, and once we're out of this land, well, that's all that there is. So property just has to get more valuable. It always increases in value, right? I bought a house in Alaska. After I'd owned the house for 2 years, it had lost 48% of its value. I was underwater. I was so far underwater that I couldn't sell the house because I'd have had to take a lot of money to a closing. And then I thought, well, got to get away from this trying to invest in land because it's just not secure. So I'll build myself a 401k. And I did. And then the bottom fell out of the market, and pretty soon my 401k looked like a 201k. It's just not much you can count on. But you can count on God. And that really, that's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, at verse 12. He said, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've committed unto him against that day. But he says, God will guard what we give him. Yeah, it's kind of like being able to rely on somebody to have your back. Now, I was never in the military, but I have a lot of friends who did serve in the military, and they reminded me that as silly as the movie Forrest Gump was, there was something very profound about that movie. Forrest Gump and his best friend, when he was in the military, said, I've got my back, or I've got your back and you've got mine. There's some things that you just need to count on, some things that you can really have confidence in. And what the Apostle Paul says here is, God is the one. Now, I thought this is a pretty straightforward discussion. I just look at the different parts of the statement that the Apostle Paul made. First, he says, I know. I know absolutely. I know for sure. And do you know how he knew what he said, I know? He'd seen what God had done in his life. You think about all the things that the Apostle went through. You look at how he describes his life. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was in shipwreck. He was found himself in the ocean. Can you imagine anybody that had to go through all of that? And when it's all said and done, he says, I know God is there. I know because I've experienced it. Paul could say, I know, because his walk with God was an intensely personal walk. It wasn't something that was just on the pages of a book. Oh, yes, it's here, but it wasn't just that. Paul's walk with God was one that enabled him to know. who he had believed. And that's the second thing. I know whom I have believed. If you don't have faith, you can't be like Paul. You have to believe in something. And you can't increase your confidence in God without increasing your faith. Now, I know how we get faith. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, Paul told the Romans, he said, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. That's how you grow faith. And without the word, faith can't grow. We oftentimes say, I want to have a stronger faith, but we ignore the means by which we get it. You can't do that. You have to read your Bibles. And Paul said, I'm confident. I'm convinced. Absolute conviction never wavers. There are not a lot of things that I can have absolute conviction in. But I do have absolute conviction in a few things. I know that my parents love me. Absolutely convinced of that. I know that Kim loves me. I'm absolutely convinced. But if you can't be convinced of that, you can't rely on it. Absolute assurance means something very special. Then he says, I know, I'm absolutely convinced that God is able. And that's what we've been talking about. God is able. God is sovereign. He will watch over us. Nothing can prevent that. Nothing will ever be so strong that it can withstand God. Nothing is so fearsome that without God, that with God, we cannot face it. And then he says, I've entrusted something to it. I gave him my soul. I gave him my life. You won't do that unless you're fully convinced. But if you are fully convinced, then it just makes sense to entrust to God that which is most valuable, that which you care about absolutely, because you absolutely know that God is there. And I thought, I'll just continue to do a little bit of reading about this. I'll look at the other places that God talked about it. And so, as I typically do, I decided, well, I'll just try reading this in some other translations. And I'm likely to run into a translation that'll make this clear. And somebody will just say this in such a pithy way that it will stick with me. Everybody kind of tends to do that. So, I read it in the English Standard Translation. Lo and behold, I found a lot more than I expected to find. In the American Standard Translation, Paul says, I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Listen to the English Standard Version. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. And I thought, did they read the same original text that the American Standard translators read? Because that sounds completely backwards. Paul says, wait a minute, I entrusted something to God. And now they have Paul saying, wait a minute, God entrusted something to me. Well, I looked at the original language, and I'm not a linguist, and I don't have a lot of ability, but I can read what linguists write about this kind of stuff. And it turns out that phrase that's been translated, I have entrusted something to God, in the American Standard Translation, and in the English Standard Translation has been translated, God entrusted something to me. Those are both possible readings. The original language admits of both of those translations. So now, I'm trying to figure out, can I reject one of those translations? Because if there's two possible translations, it might be that you have to choose one over the other, because if you chose the wrong one, you'd be crossways with something else that's said in the Bible. Now, that's just a basic matter of understanding. And then I read 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 14. Just kept going. Two more verses. And the apostle says to Timothy, protect through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Then that's the New American Standard Translation. So apparently God does entrust some things to us. And I know that it makes sense that we entrust some things to God. So we've already talked about how we entrust things to God. What might God be entrusting to us? Now, we're going to begin with the same premise. Knowing that there is God, that He is sovereign, is a great encouragement. Paul and Timothy and you and I have been entrusted with a great blessing from God. We've been entrusted with the opportunity to be His ambassadors, to take His message of salvation to a lost and dying world. And Paul reminded Timothy, this doesn't end with you, Timothy. This is something that continues throughout all time. This is the way he said it in 2 Timothy 2 at verse 2. This is the Berean Study Bible. The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, entrust those things to faithful men who will be qualified to teach others also. Now, he's been talking to Timothy about protecting that which had been entrusted to him. And he tells Timothy, now you entrust it to other people. It's a great blessing. And I must say, a little bit of a fearful kind of thing, to know that God entrusted us with His message. Did anybody else read the story about the gas station manager down in California who sold gas for 69 cents just recently. He hit the wrong key on the keyboard when he was entering the price of the gas that was going to post outside on his sign. He posted it was selling for 69 cents. And that's what the pumps were ringing up. People went nuts. That the way it was described on one of the news feeds that I get was the gas station was a circus. Because everybody wanted to fill up with the 69 cent gas. Now, why do I say that was a fearful thing for the station manager? The guy that owned the gas station had hired the manager and he gave him a responsibility. He said, I want you to make sure that you post the price of the gas on the sign outside. He screwed up, to say the least, and he got fired. Absolutely got fired. That gas station manager figured that it cost him $15,000 before he could get the mistake corrected, because there were a lot of people that filled up their gas, filled up their tanks. And then they ran home and they got their other car. And it, even if it wasn't empty, they took it down to the gas station and they filled it up with gas. And then they went and they got the can that they put gas in for their lawnmower. And they went down to the gas station. Gas station manager got fired. When you have a trust, there's something fearsome about that. James, the third chapter. James says, my brethren, be not many masters. And that word masters there means teachers. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So God entrusted something to us. And rather than inspiring confidence, that could inspire fear. Unless you know that God will see to it that the message gets taught. He won't let us screw it up so badly that the world can't find him. That's a hard lesson for preachers to learn. You can't screw it up so bad that people can't find God. Now, you may mess it up, but there's always a fail-safe. You see, the fail-safe is people have got their Bibles. And they'll read it. So you can't mess it up. God put it down so that people can find it. I was reading a book by Leo Tolstoy of War and Peace fame. It's called Tolstoy's Confessions. Tolstoy began his life as a very religious person. He was well educated in the religious community that he had grown up in. And then he got a hold of a Bible and he started reading his Bible. He said, I need to be baptized. He went and he looked for someone who would baptize him. He couldn't find anyone. People had messed that up. They started teaching something that God didn't tell them to teach. They posted the price wrong. Tolstoy read the book. And Tolstoy eventually baptized himself because he couldn't find anybody that would baptize him. Now, we could talk about whether or not that was a proper approach or not, but the point is, he knew because God protected the message. That's an encouragement. No matter how badly I mess it up, no matter how badly I try, God will make sure that the message gets out there. So God entrusts me with this awesome responsibility. And then I thought, like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, the first chapter at verse 6, I'm sure of this. This is the English Standard Translation again, and I just particularly like the way he says it. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God gave you a work to do. He began with you, and he'll make sure that it comes to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way, the Apostle Paul says, because I hold you in my heart. You're all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 14, he said, most of the brothers, having become more confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word. So this confidence, even in light of that, what they'd seen happen to the Apostle Paul, encouraged them to speak the word. It had been entrusted to them. God had done that. You can't take to yourself the prerogative to speak for God unless he said, this is what I want you to say. And he did say that. Then I thought about something else that God has entrusted to us. A soul. I was thinking about all of the young families that are having babies. And what a grand thing that is, that God counts you worthy to take care of the most precious thing in the world. And really, God has done that to all of us. He gave us a soul. The most precious thing in the world. And he said, you take care of it. And I'll give you the power to do it. I'll help you do it. You know, I cannot irretrievably lose my soul. Nobody can take it away from me. It may be the only thing that I have that no one can ever take away. Just about everything else they can take. They can take my life. They can take my liberty. They can lock me up. They can take my wealth. They can take everything away from me, but they cannot take my soul away. Why is that? God entrusted it to me. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And beginning there at verse 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's sending them out to preach. But in the course of commissioning them to go preach, he makes a statement that made me think about how God has entrusted us with a soul. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men. They'll deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, don't be anxious how you're to speak or what you're to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that day and in that hour. The Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death. Father, his child, children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, a servant above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Beelzebub means prince of devils. He said, so have no fear of them. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. And then this. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm going to get to the day of judgment. And you know what? No matter what happens, no matter what people have said or done or attempted to do, I will still have with me the soul that God gave me, entrusted to me to take care of. No one takes that away from me. Take care of it. God thought you were a worthy person to hold on to the most valuable thing in the world. Remember the parable that Jesus taught? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Not a thing. God's entrusted it to you to take care of it. It's a marvelous blessing. And it's something that we can do with God's help. So Paul says, I'm confident. Then he talks about trust. He says, I've entrusted some things to God. At least that's what some people understand him to be saying. And it may be that he's saying, God entrusted some things to me, the gospel and my soul. And it may just be that God, in his wisdom, caused the Apostle Paul to write 2 Timothy 1 at verse 12 in such a way that we could see all of that. I tend to think that's what was going on. God wanted us to recognize all of these things. How's your soul doing? Are you taking good care of it? Don't mess it up. It's valuable. Don't drag it through the mud. Don't drag it through the filth. Nobody can take it away from you. You will have it in the day of judgment. It's yours. And then God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Enlist Jesus' help. Put him on in baptism. He's promised that he will help. All of the mistakes that you've made, all of the sins that may have characterized your past, that sullied your soul, God says, I'll take care of it. So that you can go to the day of judgment and you can say, here it is, God. We, you and me, we kept it, and it's pristine.